This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That's a good vibe. Start your Saturday in Kansas City across the Midwest before it gets up to 98 million degrees later today. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter, and we are broadcasting live from Menards, north of the river, 152 Highway in the Green Hills North exit. Charlie Carlin is out here. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios. Coming up in the show today, Andy Edwards is going to join us in just a little bit. We'll talk a little World Cup. The third place game is going on today between Belgium and England, and they just started. I cannot imagine what would motivate a player to get excited for a third-place game when you've been knocked out of the World Cup final. So I'm sure it'll be an opportunity for some young players to play on a national stage in Russia. The only reason I can think that FIFA does a third-place game is money, which is pretty much why they do everything. Third-place game, sell more tickets, be on TV for another few hours on Fox. And so they do a third-place game. The finals will be tomorrow while we're on the air with Sports Sunday, which I'm disappointed by. So Andy Edwards coming up in just a few minutes to talk World Cup and Sporting KC. They're on the road in New York tonight to play the Red Bulls, a game you can hear live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB at 6 o'clock. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Matt Tate from the Lawrence Journal World and KUSports.com will join us, and we'll talk about the new athletics director, or director of athletics at the University of Kansas. KU does it differently than everybody else. Normally you're an AD, but at Kansas they call you the director of athletics. That's fine. So we'll talk about Jeff Long and how he's settling in over his first few days and kind of rate his press conference he did this week. Did he get asked any seriously tough questions? No. Were there enough questions about the FBI investigation? No. Did he stick around and talk to reporters afterwards to go more in depth? No. Got out of town. Hit the car, got out of town. That's okay. He'll have more opportunities to answer those questions, I am sure. So Matt Tate at 10 o'clock. At 10:25, Jed Lines, which we started a couple of weeks ago. Jed Marshall, our producer and co-host, comes up with interesting stories either from the world of sports or from outside the world of sports. And I don't know what those topics or stories are going to be, so we just react on the fly. So Jed Lines at 10:25. Again, we're at Menards off 152 Highway and North Green Hills Road. Got a lot of good stuff going on today. First of all, the big thing is 11% off everything. I mean, who doesn't want a discount on everything you buy? So 11% off everything today. You can also look at some of the great stuff they got on sale. The storage unit you need from Suncast, 8x10-foot storage shed for just $889.11 after that discount. Or a new Lakewood retaining wall. Those blocks are going for $177 each after your 11% discount. And I'll go through more of the sale items as we go through the show here. But as we start, Jed, I made this prediction last week, and it was kind of, I was kind of half joking about it, but also kind of half serious, that the Royals would average 1.5 wins per week the rest of the year. I was in kind of a sour mood talking about the Royals. But considering the way the Royals have begun the month of July, I think that prediction might be accurate, 1.5 wins a week for the rest of the year.
I went and hung out with my cousin after we got done with the show last weekend, and I had mentioned that to her and her boyfriend, and they both laughed and thought that that was actually a high number based off the way that the Royals were playing. And I had mentioned how the Royals were barreling towards 100 losses as we were sitting there watching one of the games. And again, my cousin's boyfriend was like, wow, barreling. That's a kind way of putting it. I would have used a lot different adjective.
Like careening or crashing or something like that.
I think he wanted to use more expletives in there, but, you know, family show.
Right. Well, I mean, I was joking with Charlie Carlin while we were driving up here to Menards in the Northland today. I was trying to remember the last Royals win, and it was Tuesday. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. And you would think as few wins as the Royals have, they would stick out more. But it's so hard to be focused on the Royals. Other than trade deadline talk, other than the draft picks are now getting into the system and beginning their careers. Most of them are pitchers. And outside of that, there's not a lot to focus on. And when you can't remember a win that just happened 4 or 5 days ago, that says a lot about the state of your organization right now. And I know Sam Mellinger has written a piece this week about how the Royals got to this point. He has basically 10 talking points, and they're all good. They're all relevant. But I'm not sure if it's worth reflecting on right now. I'm not sure what the interest level is right now. There's not... Let's put it this way. I kind of judge interest in our teams and our players in Kansas City and Lawrence and Columbia and Manhattan and across the Midwest. I kind of judge the interest level on the interactions I have with people at the gas station, at the grocery store, at a restaurant or a bar, or what people have to say on Twitter. And there's just not any interest right now for the day-to-day. And again, we talked about this a little bit last week, but the day-to-day happenings of the Kansas City Royals don't merit a lot of discussion or interest. I mean, the big story yesterday, other than another loss, 9-6 to the White Sox, the two worst teams in the American League Central, the only news was that Herrera, who just came up a few weeks ago, is on maternity leave. His significant other is about to give birth, and Paul Orlando is back. So it's kind of meaningless. And I guess if you want to look for a storyline from last night, it's that Brad Keller struggled again. And, Jed, I'll ask you just what you think. I know when he's a Rule 5 guy. He's a young guy. He's the same age, almost the same age, as the two kids from Florida that the Royals drafted this year. So, for me, a guy that young, a Rule 5 guy who's never been in the majors before, these are high-leverage innings for him. For him. Well, my point is, he's trying to establish himself as a major leaguer. He's probably throwing harder than he's ever thrown before. He's throwing more innings than he's ever thrown before. He's throwing more pitches than he's ever thrown before. And he's under more stress than he's ever been under before. And perhaps that's a reason. He had the hiccup 5 days ago. This is another one. And this was a little bit bigger than a hiccup. This is a point of concern if you're Brad Keller and the Royals.
Well, and I know you had mentioned that he's a Rule of Five guy and that he's still young. I think Brad Keller's only 22 and, you know, some change. What's concerning is that his bad outings are coming against the White Sox. Not a good baseball team. So there's still time. As you mentioned, he's probably throwing more innings than he's accustomed to, and I know he's come out of the bullpen, so there are a lot of different factors at play. But it is troubling when you see a guy starting to trend. And maybe the guys are starting to take him a little bit more seriously, maybe looking at the scouting report, seeing what this young kid throws, as opposed to being like, Rule 5 kid, I don't need to look at that. I'm going to go and rake. That's what I do. I'm a major leaguer. This guy is not. So I think there's a couple of different factors at play.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. And like I said, there's only one or two things you can talk about with the Royals every single day unless you want to get in-depth, which we do with our good friend David Leske from BP Kansas City, who's going to join us tomorrow. Or we have Clint Scholes on to talk about the minor leaguers. But the day-to-day stuff, there's not a lot of meat on the bone there, so to speak. You can talk about Brad Keller, which we're doing now. And other than that, what do you want me to say? The Royals find a way to lose every night, whether it's a 2-1 game, whether it's a 6-4 game, whether it's 9-6 last night. I mean, the Royals don't score more than 4 runs maybe once every 2.5 to 3 weeks, and you on a night when you score 6, you still can't find a win against the White Sox? Okay. I mean, their manager talked about it after the game last night. They're dealing with issues in their clubhouse because they've got guys who are going to be traded, just like the Kansas City Royals. But they went out and put 9 runs on the board last night. James Shields, former Royals star, if you want to label him that way, pitched okay. He was absolutely crushing the strike zone last night, James Shields was. So it wasn't like there wasn't anything for the Royals to hit. And they got their hits. And the Royals got 6 runs. But you know what's coming every night. And, Jed, we talked about this last week. You know, your friend joked with you last week when the Royals had, what, a 3 or 4 run lead. Do you think the Royals are going to win this? And your reaction is no.
Yeah, that was my joke.
Yeah. Oh, that was your, yeah. But, Jed, I was watching last night, and, you know, the White Sox jumped out with 2 quick runs, and that 3-0 lead, and I was like, okay, I'm going for a walk. I'm done with this. And then they get back in it. They make it a 1-run game, and the question is, do you think the Royals are going to win? Do you think they're going to come back? No. There's no belief that that's going to happen. Not only for the fans, not only for people in the media like me, I don't think the guys in that clubhouse, in that dugout, believe they're going to win on a nightly basis.
And that's where I sit. I think you're seeing this team playing with a lack of focus in a lot of different regards. You mentioned the fact that guys might be on the trade block or in different destinations here in the short future, but you're just seeing the fact that this team is devoid of talent and, like I said, a lack of focus manifesting itself in many different ways on the field. They're finding ways to lose regardless of the situation. And like you said, you covered the clubhouses. You were in there every day. God bless you. But watching and talking with those guys when you know you're going to lose, you're going to find a way to lose. You're like, well, we could score 11, but our bullpen will give up 64 runs. So what's the point? You know, to me, that's where this clubhouse is at. Apathy is totally set in. You're starting to see Ned Yost revert back to his angry, red, sarcastic, you know, like not vindictive or bitter, but certainly, you know, a lot saltier than I think Ned Yost had become, at least in Kansas City's eyes. So there are a lot of different factors. I just worry that all the losing, even on the guys who do stay on the team, it's going to continue to grind on them. And you have to start worrying about the psyche of Danny Duffy, if he's still around, Salvador Perez. You and I have talked about many times, not only the psyche of him, but also catching all these games. You know, Whit Merrifield's a young guy. He hasn't really been around a lot of losing. So it'll be interesting to see how all these guys do respond.
Yes. Clubhouse chemistry has been through the 2013, 2014, 2015 season, even 16 and 17. The clubhouse chemistry was so important.
Absolutely. That's where that's what everybody talked about, the camaraderie and how they were all, you know, stuck together in the Salvy splashes and they had their little hand signals and whatnot. It was such a cohesive unit that I think you're starting to see the splintering effect that can happen in many different regards when you let a guy like Hosmer, and again, that's a different issue for a different day, but go Lorenzo Cain, who was a catalyst in the lineup. You know, you see just the effect that it does have on the culture, not only on the field, but off.
Absolutely. And, you know, kind of that chemistry, which we don't have to go too far into because it's gone. It's over. But, you know, Moose was kind of your resident red ass, and that's fine. Every team needs a guy who's a little bit fiery, a little bit salty. Salvador Perez was, you know, your happy-go-lucky guy, always smiling in the clubhouse. Lorenzo Cain smiled. He was a good balance. And Eric Hosmer was kind of the bridge in the clubhouse. He could be happy-go-lucky when he needed to be, and he could get on guys when he needed to. We've seen that. We've seen Hosmer go after guys in the dugout and point and get in their face. But that's just not where this team is right now. And frankly, it wouldn't do that much good. What is it going to do for the team if Salvador Perez or Mike Moustakas comes into the clubhouse after the game and turns over the table, turns over the post-game spread, food everywhere, you guys aren't eating tonight? That's not going to do anything. A players-only meeting at this point, which I know the Washington Nationals just had last week, that's not where this team is. This team is in survival mode. Get through the season, stay healthy, improve either your trade value or your contract value, and that's about it right now. That's about it.
And you even mentioned the stay healthy thing. You're going to see a lot of guys start shutting it down. If they have minor things, they're not going to play through it. That's how this team is. Well, another reason how this team has gotten to be in the position they are, being so bad, because guys are they don't care. But for lack of a better term, they don't care at this point in the season. I was looking at a tweet from Pete Graffoff from over at the Star, and he mentioned how the Royals have already tied the same amount of losses as they had in 2015. We're not even to the All-Star break.
No.
And granted, these teams are in far different positions, obviously. One was winning the World Series. One is barreling towards being one of the two worst teams in baseball. But to think about how much has changed in such a short time. I heard Kevin referencing how Ned Yost is being disrespected. I mean, we're talking about less than 3 years ago, the guy was raising the World Series trophy. So it's amazing the disconnect and how far the Royals have fallen in such short order.
Yes, and it's easier to take this time around. And I know Sam and some of the other guys at the Star have written about this, and David Leske and all the guys at BP Kansas City have written about this. It's easier to take now because we're not that far removed from the World Series. Whereas the last time the Royals won a World Series, I think I was in seventh grade, 1985, and it was 30 years. And then it becomes, at that point it was apathy. I'm not sure where it apathy towards the organization right now, where it apathy towards this season, but not the organization because there's a belief they can get back. They've drafted well in the past. They're going to have the first or second overall pick next year, next June, depending on what the Orioles do, because they're totally tanking. And they, much like the Royals, I don't believe set out to tank this year. They signed guys in spring training, for crying out loud. So it's just amazing to look at those two clubs who were not trying to tank, who are just downright owning the tank this season. A couple of more things here, and then we're going to take a break. Jed, I always mention this, the negativity on Twitter, right?
Yes, I'm quite aware of it.
Within 30 seconds of opening Twitter in the morning, you're just slapped across the face with something stupid. So here's the thing that happened last week. So I've told this story before. Last summer, several of my colleagues and I got laid off from the channel formerly known as Metro Sports, now Spectrum Sports KC. A bunch of us got laid off, and it happens. It's a business. And so I went back a couple of days ago to do a Royals Blue Zone show. Funny. You get to go back and do a Royals show. They asked me to come back. And so I tweeted out something I thought might be inspiring, at worst generic, saying that, you know what, when bad things happen, don't say negative things about people you used to work for or with. Keep up good relationships. I've kept good relationships with my bosses. And I said they invited me back to do a couple of shows. Nothing permanent, just a couple of shows. And the lesson to learn is don't burn your bridges. I thought, okay, that's a perfectly nice message. Hopefully someone can use that or takes it to heart or just ignores it, either one.
Yeah, seems like perfectly sound advice.
And I bet I probably had interactions with 30 or 40 people. Hey, great message, good to hear. And then one jerk weasel has to say, well, you stink on the radio, so I guess you had to go crawling back.
Ooh, snap, Brad.
Who was that guy?
I need to give him
a
follow.
I'm not saying his name on the radio, because what I tweeted out last night was, do you answer a troll? Not answer a troll. Answer the troll? Don't it? Nah, just let it go.
Oh, I saw that. Was that what that was in reference to? I appreciated
that one, too. Because I didn't want
to
respond directly to the person who tweeted it. So
it's like,
that was my thing.
It's like anything, though. You know this as well as anyone. If someone isn't saying you suck out there, you're doing a bad job.
It must mean they're listening. Because they must know.
Well, I mean,
they're able to make that judgment.
It's like everything. You're certainly not going to please everyone all the time. If literally everyone's calling in saying that I'm the greatest producer in the world of radio, which no one has, I'll save Chad the messages. But if someone was, I'd be like, I'm probably not doing something right. I need to start, figuring out things to ruffle a few more feathers.
I just thought I had a laugh over it last night, so. I let it go. Just let it go.
Twitter's an angry place, man. You and I know that better than anyone.
It is. Hey, we have some World Cup and Sporting Kansas City to talk about. We're going to do that coming up next with Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com. Sporting at New York tonight at 6 o'clock. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Plus, the Final Whistle post-game show with Dave Borchert right afterwards. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. Charlie Carlin and me, Brad Porter, we're out here at Menards in the Northland, 152 and North Green Hills Road. If you stop by our broadcast location, I've got T-Bones tickets for the game coming up July 20th against the Texas Air Hogs, which is one of my favorite minor league baseball names. Also, we have coupons to Zaxby's. If you like the Zaxby's chicken, we have those available as well. We're back in the – I always have to look around because Menards is so big. We're back in front of the big green sign that says mattresses. So we're right there in the back. Go to the back and look for the green sign that says mattresses. And we are there. They have a lot of good deals today. First of all, 11% off everything, which is just unreal because you can literally find anything you can think of here. Also, if you're working on those lawn projects, I know it's into July, but it's there's still a lot of stuff you can work on. You want to keep it neat and clean, you can get the MasterMark, a 20-foot roll of lawn edging for only $5.33 after that 11% discount. So 11% off everything today at Menards. At our location, we're at, again, off 152 Highway and North Green Hills Road, my old stomping grounds north of the river. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Andy Edwards, NBCSports.com, talking Sporting KC and World Cup. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Always like little Beastie Boys. Ease into your Saturday morning. Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City, across the Midwest. Blasting out 50,000 watts. You can also listen on the 810 app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. Just heard the commercial for the T-Bones, watching Jurassic Park on Sizzle Vision. If you come by Menards in the Northland, off 152 Highway and North Green Hills Road, we have tickets for the T-Bones game. Coming up July 20th against the Texas Air Hogs. So you can have a pair of tickets or you can get four tickets. It depends how Charlie Carlin feels about it. He'll make a judgment call if you show up back here. We're back in front of the big green sign that says mattresses. We also have coupons for Zaxby's. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. And a lot of good stuff going on at Menards today. 11% off everything. That's the big thing. 11% off everything. Storage? You need storage? How about a Suncast? Get an 8x10-foot storage shed for just $889.11, that's after you take the 11% off. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Matt Tate from the Lawrence Journal-World and KUSports.com will join us. We'll talk Jeff Long, the new director of athletics at the University of Kansas, and how he performed this week in front of the media. And at 10:30, we'll do Jedlines with Jed Marshall. He'll pick out interesting or odd stories from the world of sports and outside of the world of sports, and then we'll just react. I don't know what those stories are going to be, so it'll be reacting on the fly. And we're going to react on the fly right now to whatever Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com has to say. Andy, how are you on this Saturday morning?
I'm doing well, Brad. I assure you it'll be far less interesting than anything that Jed comes up with for you later.
Oh, no, I assure you. That's good. That's a line from Fletch. Oh, I assure you. Hey, we've got, look, the World Cup has been fantastic. It has been off the charts, entertaining. It's been electric. We've had, you know, a Croatia team that's played three consecutive extra time games, two of those going to penalty kicks. Everything has been just great. There have been upsets. There have been world powers in soccer that have been taken down. There have been Cinderella stories. But today, I feel, is kind of a meh day because it's the third place game between England and Belgium. And look, England, they were playing that song. It was unending, it's coming home, talking about the trophy because they haven't won since 1966. And Belgium has been building towards, you know, going to a World Cup finals for 10, 12, 15 years, building their system. And today they play for basically nothing. It's a third place game. What's in it for the players on the field today? What's there for them?
That's a good question. I guess that's probably where we should start when we consider why they play a third place game and whether they should continue to do so.
I've
missed the World Cup tremendously the last couple of days in between the semifinals and the third place game. And I can already foresee Monday morning at 9 a.m., 10 a.m. when there would be a game otherwise, and there's not. And then the realization that oh my God, it's totally over. It's finished. It's gonna hurt, but I could do without the third place game. I really could. It's the only thing that ever comes from these games is coaches get to rotate the team, and they get to get in some guys who either haven't gotten to play yet during the tournament or some guys who have just played limited minutes and give them an opportunity. And it's a big stage. It's not a game that anybody really cares about, but it's still, you're still going up against another semifinalist of the World Cup. And so there's a little bit of value to it, I think, in terms of, you know, player development and chemistry, you know, growing chemistry for hopefully it's the younger guys on the roster and just kind of exposing them to that kind of stage. So I could do without it. It's never a good game. There's not much quality because the lineups are chopped and changed and you know, there's so much, there's a drain that's been taken on these guys over the last month and a half now. And then they have to go out and play a game that, as you said, doesn't really mean anything. But, you know, I'm sure to those individuals, though, I'm sure that there's a lot of value to it.
Yeah, I see it for the individuals. To me, I'm always skeptical of things FIFA does because they're frankly still a corrupt organization. And this is a cheap way to sell a few extra tickets and to keep the fans from England and Belgium in their hotel rooms for another couple of days in Russia and to get some more TV ratings. And that's about it. But I agree. Okay, if I'm a young guy, yes. I am glad to play in this game. Wear the uniform of your country. Represent them on the field. Get some valuable minutes. But as you said, not a lot there.
Yeah, I mean, those are all valid points as well. FIFA selling tickets. Selling the hotels and everything, just keeping people around. It's a shame that a tournament that, you know, has been as good as this one, at the end of the day, we still have to credit FIFA for it. We still have been lining the pockets of FIFA
right.
For watching and you know, supporting these sponsors, and they're like, it sucks. But at the same time, as you said, the tournament has been absolutely amazing. And I guess we should owe them a small morsel of thanks for making it possible, because it's just been every game except for, you know, a couple during the knockout, like probably Russia's games, I would say, just given the way that they played, have been absolutely amazing to watch. And every single one of them, just the best possible advertisement for the sport.
We're talking with Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're live at Menards in the Northland, 152 in North Green Hills Road. I'm following the score of the third-place game right now, and even though my ESPN.com on my phone says the game is scoreless in the 35th or 36th minute, Jed Marshall tells me it's actually 1-0 Belgium, and there was a goal in the first 3 minutes. So I guess we got a little something from the game.
Yeah, what you always want in these knockout round games and even a third place game, you want a goal early, because so often teams will just kind of sit there and play for a 0-0 or to not lose. But when somebody's got a lead, then somebody's got to try, you know, play from behind and everything, and it just opens the game up a little bit more. So I'm hopeful, especially of the second half, that we get some real entertaining soccer, and maybe we see one or two of the stars come off the bench and you know, the coaches really try to go for it.
All right, let's get to the game that actually matters. Tomorrow's final, Sunday, France and Croatia. And look, I am, for many reasons, I am rooting for Croatia. Here's a couple. One, they're a country of 4 million people, for crying out loud. They attained their independence within the last 25 years. It's still a young country. Okay, it's historical because they were part of something that was quite terrible before they achieved their independence. But they achieved their independence as a country. They fought for it, and they got it. They're a country of 4 million people. Luka Modric, the story has been told this week. For me, by the way, Luka Modric, along with Kanté from France, two best players in the tournament, hands down. But Modric, I kind of tilt towards right now, and maybe it'll be decided tomorrow. But Luka Modric, the story comes out this week. When he was a little kid and the wars were being fought in his part of the world, he had grenades going off around him all the time. His grandfather was shot and killed. It was an awful, awful thing to experience as a little kid. And when he played soccer, they told him, you're too little, and you don't have the drive to do it. You're never going to amount to anything in this game. And so, I'm not putting a nickname on him, but for lack of a better term, little Luka Modric goes out and becomes perhaps the most important midfielder in the world for Real Madrid, for Croatia. And I think it's such a compelling story. And on the other side, you have France with all the young players. Mbappe is 19 years old. Kante is a revelation, along with their other stars, and Griezmann, and you can go on and on and on. But two very compelling stories to watch unfold tomorrow in the World Cup final.
Yeah, it's nothing like the matchup that I think anybody expected before the tournament, or even after the
right.
group stage, or probably after the quarterfinals, or even the semi before the semifinals. You know, everybody was kind of had already set in their mind it's going to be England versus whoever wins that gigantic war between France and Belgium, and that was an unbelievable game for me, even though it finished just 1-0 in favor of France. And Croatia have just kind of, you know, they've taken that underdog status, if you will, this entire tournament, and they've run with it. But it's a bit ironic, I think, that this is the tournament that they get all the way to a final, because for about 10 or 12, maybe 15 years, they have been going into every tournament the dark horse team. The team that has a ton of talent that everybody knows about, that plays for big clubs, and they're coming up on the right points of their careers, they're the right experience and maturity, and this is going to be the tournament that they do it. And they've been fine, but they've never really shown in that way and broken through. And now you've got Modric, who's 32. You've got Ivan Rakitic, who's 30. I think Mario Mandzukic is 31 or 32. They're at the very, very end of their international career. They're probably going to retire internationally tomorrow after the game. And now they finally get through when nobody really talked about them coming into the tournament. But it makes total sense. If you look at all the quality, and you know, you mentioned some of the guys and where they play and everything in the world, but Modric has been for me for, I don't know, probably 5 years or so. And a bit of it is the Tottenham fan bias
Tottenham guy, me talking
a little bit, but he's been for about 5 years, the best midfielder in the world. And because he is, because of the way that he plays, and he's not a flashy type player, he's very industrious. He's very, very technical. He plays a lot of the simple stuff, but he keeps a team moving and he keeps everything ticking over, whether he's playing for his club or for his country. And now put onto a bigger stage and, you know, into more of a star's role with Croatia, people are realizing, oh man, we've like missed out on a lot of this guy's amazing career because he's played with Ronaldo and he's played with all the stars at Real Madrid, and he's the third or fourth or fifth biggest name on that team at any given time. And now where he's finally getting his due, and I'm incredibly happy, you know, to see a player of that quality with the story that he has, get that shine on the world's biggest stage. And I would imagine, by the way, there's probably a lot of players within that Croatia team and Serbia and all the former Yugoslav countries that have very similar stories to that. And I think it's probably plays a big part in why some of them have become successful players is, you know, the reality that they come from, the drive that it instills in them. And it's the only way, you know, to get out, if you will, and to save your family and take care of your family for the rest of your life. I find no way to root against either one of the teams that are in the final tomorrow, and that's very strange. There's always a villain. There's always a big superpower, but France doesn't even feel like that because of how young and flashy and fun that team is. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, France is not the collection of knuckleheads they used to be that would quit in the middle of a World Cup and have players sent home and try to get their coach fired in the middle of a tournament. So it's not those guys anymore. It's young guys who are just ridiculously talented. Final question on this before we go to Sporting KC as we talk with Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com. Just your final pick for tomorrow. Who wins? Or you can pick we're going to extra time. You can pick we're going to PKs. Just how does this end tomorrow?
I think it's going to be France. I think obviously the fact that Croatia's played three straight 120-minute games and they've only had two or three days in between all of them, they're going to have a day less rest coming up against France as well, because they played on Tuesday, Croatia played on Wednesday. I think everything just kind of – those are all small factors. But when you add a number of them together up against a team that they have a talent deficit to France, they're a very good team, but they don't have the kind of top end and the amount of just unbelievable talent that France have. So I think in the end, that's probably going to win out. And I think we should also give a little bit of credit to Didier Deschamps, the manager of France, because he took a lot of crap coming into the tournament. Well, he's just going to play defensive and he's going to waste all of that great attacking talent and they're not going to be fun to watch. And they've not been the best team to watch, you know, in terms of how many goals they scored or chances created. That they've created, but there's been some, you know, some individual moments from Mbappe, from Pogba, where some of that flash has come out, but he's kept the structure of that team to be very functional and solid defensively. And for all the flair that they do have, they're still really tough to play against. And I think there's something to be said for that in a knockout tournament, to not just be the most entertaining version of yourself, but the most difficult to beat version of yourself. And they've certainly been that.
All right, we're talking with Andy Edwards, NBCSports.com. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we broadcast live from Menards in the Northland, 152 in North Green Hills Road, 11% off everything today. Andy, quickly on Sporting KC, in New York tonight to take on the Red Bulls. And their coach, head coach, manager, Jesse Marsh, quit last week. And I say quit, that's a relative term. The team is owned by the Red Bull company, and they've been wanting him to go work with their Leipzig team in Germany. And this, I hate when you have ownership groups in Major League Soccer that also own foreign teams, like New York City FC is basically Manchester City Junior. They bend to their will, and I hate that this has happened for them in the middle of the season. But for a Sporting KC team that has honestly struggled the last couple of weeks, maybe this is they can take advantage of. I know Chris Armas will do a great job in New York, but maybe this is something Sporting can take advantage of.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how the Red Bulls adjust. Obviously, Armas is just being promoted from within, and so there, you wouldn't imagine there's a ton of change in terms of the tactics and the way that they do things day to day. But there is still the jolt of, oh, wow, that coach, is some guy is signed there to play for, a ton of players coming through the youth academy, that he's the one that brought them into the first team. Or Bradley Wright Phillips, who's been there for a number of years and has scored a ton of goals for multiple coaches, but loved playing for Jesse Marsh. Every player loves playing for Jesse Marsh. It's going to be interesting to see how they adjust over the first month or so, kind of that transition period. And it's absolutely something that Sporting needs to look to take advantage of tonight. The fact that they've not won in their last three league games. They lost a couple in a row. They had a pretty disappointing draw, I thought, last weekend with Toronto, given how much they controlled that game and how much they limited Toronto in every facet of the game. And to still give up two goals and to still drop a couple points was pretty disappointing. So I would imagine that this was a very, very tough week of training for the players. As guys are starting to finally slowly come back from injuries, Felipe Gutierrez is expected to be available off the bench tonight, which is going to be a massive boost for this team.
Huge.
So things are just like slowly, I think you have to hope at least that this is not another one of the summer swoons that we've seen the last 4 years, and that things are coming together a little bit earlier in the year. They dealt with the injuries a couple months earlier than they usually have, and that maybe, just maybe, the team that we saw the first, you know, 2 or 3 months of the season, they can get back to that, and that can become the reality of this season.
All right, Andy Edwards, enjoy today's World Cup third-place game, which Belgium, I believe, is still leading 1-0 over England. They should be at halftime by now. They're at halftime. Okay. So enjoy the third-place game. Enjoy Sporting tonight, and then enjoy the World Cup finals tomorrow, Croatia and France. And for all our friends, Strawberry Hill over in Kansas City, Kansas, I've been watching the videos and photos from St. John's over there, and it's fantastic, and I'm rooting for you guys. So enjoy the rest of the weekend, Andy. I appreciate it.
You know I will. I'll talk to you soon, Brad.
All right, that is Andy Edwards, NBCSports.com, who joins us to talk Sporting KC and World Cup. And like I said, all the folks in KCK, it's awesome watching all those videos and pictures of all the celebrations. And I wish you luck tomorrow. Maybe LeFou Frog is having a party tomorrow for the France fans in town. All right, we are coming up on a timeout here. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Matt Tate, Lawrence Journal World, KUSports.com will join us and talk about Jeff Long, the new director of athletics at the University of Kansas. We are broadcasting live from the Menards in the Northland today, 152 Highway and North Green Hills Road. 11% off everything today. Got to take care of that landscaping. You can get the clean up with the Mastermark. Get a 20-foot roll of lawn edging for only $5.33 after that 11% discount. So it's going on all day long here at Menards. We're in the Northland. Also, stop by our location. We're in front of the big green mattresses sign towards the back of the store, giving away Kansas City T-Bones tickets to their game July 20th against the Texas Air Hogs. Also, we have coupons for Zaxby's. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios. Quick timeout. Back with more right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from the Menards north of the river. 152 and North Green Hills Road. 11% off everything today. Need that new storage shed? Get a Suncast 8x10-foot storage shed for just $889.11 after you get that 11% off. It's going to be going on all day today. Also, if you stop by our location, we're towards the back of the store in front of that big green sign that says mattresses. Maybe we'll lay down and take a nap at the break. We've got Kansas City T-Bones tickets for the game coming up July 20th against the Texas Air Hogs. Also coupons for Zaxby's, if you like the Zaxby's chicken. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. Jed, we were just touching on World Cup and Sporting with Andy Edwards there from NBCSports.com.
Yes.
Croatia and France tomorrow for the finals. Unexpected, probably. Do you have a pick? Do you have an interest? Do you favor one side or the other? Do you have a prediction?
The smart money, of course, would be to pick France. I just think that they're a more talented team. You have Conte on the backside just shutting everyone down. And then Mbappe has been unbelievable. So I think that you have to pick France. I will give Croatia a chance. Luka Modric has been really good, and he controls the middle of the field. So I think it'll be a compelling match, but I just think France has too much talent, unfortunately. But I'll be pulling for Croatia because I do like povetica bread. And, yeah, I don't know. I think France is a pretty heavy favorite, so you got to go for the underdog.
And you have to go to Kansas City, Kansas, and Strawberry Hill to get it. If you buy it somewhere else, you're doing yourself a disservice, or you're not getting the real thing.
Oh, absolutely. Right? One of my roommates, he is of Croatian descent. His dad grew up in KCK. So whenever he'd come back from college, he'd, you know, bring a loaf of that. And, oh, gosh, you put some butter on that and have a cup of coffee. Delicious way to start your day.
It is. And I've enjoyed all the videos and photos from all the Croatia fans in KCK and hanging out at St. John's over there. And I know Nate Bukati took – I think Nate posted a picture the other day before he left for the golf tournament out in Tahoe. I'm going to go – you're right, Jed. You're absolutely right. The smart money's on France. Croatia has played three consecutive extra-time games. So not just 90 minutes. They played 120 minutes in three straight games and twice had to go to penalty kicks. That's a lot of energy. That's a lot of emotion. I know that those guys have the courage to summon up whatever they have left. I just don't know if it's enough to beat France. But honestly, I'm going to pull for Croatia, just for all my friends over in KCK, and they're fun to watch, and I like Luka Modric, and that's fine. All right, coming up next here on Sports Saturday, we're going to talk with Matt Tate from the Lawrence Journal-World and KUSports.com about Jeff Long, the new director of athletics at the University of Kansas. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. My name is Brad Porter, live at Menards in the Northland, 152 and North Green Hills Road. Back with more right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.